Lunch with Pippa Hudson
on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
And with that, it's time to talk cars. Our motoring journalist, Chirida Siena of cars.co.za, is standing by to take your questions and chat to us about the looming cars awards. Just a reminder, please, the one thing we ask you not to ask us about is car valuations. If you're looking for a sense of a fair price to ask for your vehicle that you're selling, or you're looking for an assessment of whether the vehicle you're thinking of buying is fairly priced, please go to cars.co.za. Their website under the tools section has got some very handy tips on how to navigate that particular question and where to go for advice. You can type in stuff on financing a vehicle as well. So really useful information under the tools tab at the top of the page on cars.co.za. Absolutely anything else, though, is welcome as a question. If it's got to do with a thing on wheels that has a motor that goes vroom, call us on 021-446-0567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Chira, always great to have you with us. Nice to have you on again today. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Pippa. It's good to be on the show.
Before we tackle any listener questions, some motoring news, because tomorrow evening, I think, is your big industry night, the annual Cars Awards, Chira.
Yeah, it's huge. It's become a big event. It's in its fifth year this year, and we're looking at hosting about 400 people at Kyalami. Massive stage. I mean, our screens this year are 26 meters wide, so longer than a Virgin Active swimming pool.
Sure.
It's pretty mega. A lot of fun this year as well. Bonang is emceeing. Casper and Yvest is playing live. So it's really going to be a fun night out, I think. But of course, the point of the whole exercise is to help consumers make better purchasing decisions by naming the 13 best cars in South Africa in 13 categories and brand of the year, which is voted for by the consumer.
Okay, so let's just interrogate that a bit. I mean, it's very hard. And initially, you think, how do you choose a best car of the year when they're so different and then such different target markets? How do you put a tiny little Golf in the same category as a big luxury million rand car? But of course, as you said, it's broken down into categories per segment. And we can't go through all of them, but Chiro, the two that seem to fascinate our audience the most are at the opposite ends of the scale. The one is the fascination with the compact family cars that we all want to buy and drive ourselves. Mm. And the other is the sort of, we can only dream of it, the super luxury, really expensive stuff. Let's start with the stuff we actually drive, the compact family cars. Remind us who the finalists are in that category.
So it's the Suzuki Vitara, the new Volkswagen T-Cross, and the Renault Duster. And I was actually judging this category, mm-hmm. and I expected the T-Cross to walk it. I mean, it's a great little car. But then I jumped into the Duster and the Vitara, and I thought, okay, the T-Cross has got some competition here.
Really?
And funnily enough, the Renault actually felt like the best ride of all three of them, the quietest, the most refined, the most comfortable. The T-Cross has a lot going for it in terms of appeal, visual appeal. Mm-hmm. But with only a three-year warranty compared to five-year with the Suzuki and the Renault, you're on your own a little bit earlier with the T-Cross, you know.
Yeah.
So that's when it comes to consumer buying advice, I think that's really important as well. So difficult to pick a winner there, because Volkswagen scores very well in our after-sales satisfaction survey, which counts for 50% of the scoring.
Right.
And so I suspect that the T-Cross is probably going to take this award, but very close with the Suzuki, I think, because they also score very, very well on our dealership satisfaction survey.
So that's really interesting information, that a full half of the score is feedback from owners of these vehicles about how they're treated, how easy it is to get them serviced and looked after.
Correct.
After the purchase. Yep. So this really is, it's meaningful feedback that this is giving to the market.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
yeah, carry on. Yeah,
we have 20 judges who've come from various backgrounds. For instance, we have Claire Marisa from Carte Blanche on the panel, who's not necessarily a motoring journalist, but who, I suppose, whose opinion and investigative abilities carry weight. And then, the whole cars.co.za team is obviously on as well, and there's probably about 4 or 5 decades of experience between a lot of us, and a couple of motoring journals from other publications as well. We try and include the whole industry, but yes, 50% of the score is from roughly 10,000 surveys which have been filled in by the owners of cars younger than 5 years about their ownership experience, the reliability of the car, et cetera, et cetera. So we think it's a comprehensive way of trying to find the best car for the buyer.
Okay. Now, at the other end of the scale, I'm looking at the performance car category, and they're cars that I can only dream of looking at and don't even want to go near in case I scratch them and have to pay for a repair. Chira, I mean, these are cars that most of us will never get to drive, but what's the most expensive and sort of top-performing vehicle in the mix? Who do you think might take that category?
So the finalists are the new Ford Mustang, the BMW M2 Competition, and the Toyota Supra. Wow, tight one. I didn't get to judge this category, unfortunately, but I have driven all three of these cars. And surprisingly, I like the Supra the most out of all of them. I think Toyota have absolutely nailed it with that car. If you're looking for an exciting sports car that's kind of on the sane end of the scale of when it comes to sort of supercars and high-performance cars, and also relatively affordable compared to, say, the, you know, Porsches, Ferraris, Lamborghinis of this world, mm-hmm. then I think the Supra probably does more for me than any of the other cars. The M2's got that kind of brand cachet, I suppose, that, you know, the badge on the nose, probably a bit sexier than Toyota. And the Ford Mustang for me is too compromised by its new gearbox. They've put the 10-speed gearbox in there from the Ranger Raptor, funnily enough. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, it just does not work. It's honestly one of the poorest engine gearbox combinations I've ever experienced. So for me, it's between the Beamer and the Toyota. And I'd like to see the Toyota win. I think they deserve some praise for their new sports car.
Okay. Just a reminder, if you're wanting to call in with a motoring question, please do so right now on 021-446-0567. One quick last question on the awards. Chira, Brand of the Year, always hotly contested. It's a consumer-voted category. Mm. Just remind us who took Brand of the Year last year?
So it was Toyota. And off the top of my head, the only companies that have won this competition are Toyota and Suzuki. I don't think we named a Brand of the Year in the first year. So two okay. for Suzuki, two for Toyota. And Suzuki does extremely well. But when you consider that they maybe have something in the region of a tenth of the dealerships that yeah. Toyota has, Toyota is very well managed and on the dealership side to score so well with our consumers. So Suzuki doing a superb job and deserve a lot of praise. But the scale of the Toyota sort of ecosystem is just mind boggling. And the fact that they managed to look after so many customers, I think yeah. is very impressive as well.
Okay. Well, you can fill us in on the winners in next week's segment. In the meantime, good luck to everyone competing, all the brands competing in the Cars Awards tomorrow night, and keep us posted. Chira, let's move on to our first listener question, which came in on the email from Clive. Clive's wanting to buy a 4x4 double cab bucky for light off-road traveling. He said there will be some rough roads, a bit of sand, the odd big stone. General recreational use is his description within the Western Cape. So no long sort of arduous road trips planned. He has in mind a Hilux, and he would like to know how far back he can go in terms of year, sort of model and mileage, without compromising on safety and reliability. In other words, he's wanting to spend as little as possible. He wants to go second hand, but he wants to make sure that he's got a safe, reliable vehicle that's going to maintain decent fuel consumption. So age is the one thing he's asking about. He's also asking whether you'd recommend petrol or diesel, and thirdly, whether the Hilux is a good choice or there's any other car that you'd recommend.
Sure. I think the Hilux is always a good choice. It's the default choice for many South Africans. They sell thousands of them a month, and they hold their values very well, which I think is one of the reasons why people buy them in the first place, because you're going to get quite a significant chunk of your money back when you come to sell it. And I don't think that changes the older you go with the car. I think percentage-wise, compared to, say, brands like Ford, anecdotally at least, the Hilux holds its value very well. So even if you're buying an older one, and you come to sell it at some point, you probably get a good chunk of the money back, which is great. So it has that going for it. In terms of the actual vehicle, I mean, a really solid reputation for reliability, which is, of course, what you want in a workhorse vehicle like that. Obviously, make sure that you don't go for a 4x2 model. So you've got to make sure it is a 4x4 if you're planning to use it off-road. That means it will cost a little bit more. The 4x4 is do cost a bit more to purchase, but that is a necessity for this listener. In terms of safety, going far back, so generally a car generation is replaced every 6 to 7 years. The current Hilux came out in 2016 with the new generation 2.8-liter turbo diesel engine. The generation before, which would then go back roughly to 2010, was a very solid car. It was a 3-liter engine which had been around for a long time and which was pretty much bulletproof. I wouldn't go much further back than that. You start to find probably that the cars didn't have ABS, perhaps, or they only have one airbag or two airbags. So you start to get to a point where, the safety levels do decrease quite dramatically. That being said, I don't have that sort of information off the top of my head, so it's worth doing. It's worth maybe chatting to a Toyota dealer about that or cruising. There's a fantastic forum called 4x4community.co.za. It's a great place to do some research as well. But I would say don't go further back than 2010, so that's a 10-year-old car. I would say go for a manual, and I would say go for a diesel as well. The petrol is just too thirsty. And those diesels are not that tricky to maintain. They're fairly old-fashioned diesels. They're not like these very high-powered, finicky things you find in, say, modern BMWs and Volvos and that sort of thing. They're pretty bulletproof. And I suppose to end off, I would say another car to look at, which is a car that you could sort of keep forever, it might even outlive you, actually, is the Isuzu KB. Those sell very well, easy to get parts, fairly easy to service, and that could be a good alternative.
Fantastic in-depth answer. Thanks so much, Chira. We have to leave it there. Good luck for tomorrow night. Hope the function goes well and look forward to chatting to you about all the winners on next week's segment.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Chira de Siena of cars.co.za. And of course, remember to visit their website for more motoring news and check out their YouTube channel for all the latest videos on new releases.